This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, we'll take a step back to examine the setting of the story as Pastor Sam begins a sermon titled, A Tale of Three Cities. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible again to the book of Jonah, and we want to continue our journey with Jonah through the four chapters that make up this little book that has such a powerful message. We are in the portion of Jonah, and those of you who may be joining us today, we are in the portion of Jonah where all of a sudden Jonah fades from the foreground. Up to this point, almost everything that has been happening in the book has put our attention on what God is doing in Jonah and what is God is doing around Jonah and what God is doing through Jonah. And so by the time we get to chapter 3, we have followed the steps of Jonah and we have listened in to some of the conversation that he has been having in his heart with the Lord. And as we've been listening into that conversation, we have found ourselves often, at least I have, and I'm sure many of you have as well, we have found ourselves seated next to Jonah with those same thoughts and those same conversations going on in our own lives. And this morning, as we come to Jonah chapter 3, you'll remember we looked at the first five verses the Sunday before Easter, and we noted that God did something amazing in Jonah so that he could do something amazing through Jonah. And that's very often the way that God works in his world. Before God will do something through you, sometimes he has to do something in you. And you never know exactly what it is that God may choose to do. Some of you may have an idea of how you think God is working. Some of you may have a direction in which you have, as you've prayed and thought about your life, pointed your direction, but you don't know exactly what God is doing through you until you settle what God is doing in you. And that's exactly what we noted when Jonah came to this most unexpected place. I think if you had met Jonah as a young prophet, and you asked Jonah, Jonah, how do you think your ministry is going to go? What do you think God is going to do? What are your aspirations as a prophet? He would say something along the lines, well, it's a great honor to serve the Lord, and I know that I'm not up to the task. I'm trusting that God will enable me and that he will give me the words to say, and I'm praying that God's words would have effect in the hearts of the people that God has sent me to. You know, I am a prophet of the Lord, and I have been sent to the nation of Israel. And so that's kind of how I think it's going to go. I think it'll be hard at times. I think that sometimes the Lord's going to ask me to say hard things to his people. I may even have to do some of the things that earlier prophets did. I may have to jump up and make my way to the capital city, and I may have to appear before Jeroboam the second, and I may have words for him. And I sure hope that when those moments come that the Lord will find me faithful, and that the Lord will strengthen me, and the Lord will enable me, and the Lord will bless me. Is that all you think God might do? Well, that's a lot. You know, obviously you're not very familiar with us prophets and the ministry we have. What I just said to you is an amazing amount of things for one prophet to do in his lifetime. And so, yes, I think if I were to have aspirations, I would want to be a faithful servant of God. I would want to be a faithful servant of his word, and I would want to be a faithful servant to his people. That's what I want. And God said to Jonah, well, very good. Thank you for that. I'm so pleased with those desires. I'm pleased that you want to be a faithful servant. I'm pleased that you love the word and you want to be faithful to that word. And I'm so thankful that you love my people, you know, just between me and you, Jonah. They're a hard lot to love sometimes. Jonah just, I could just imagine Jonah nodding his head and, and not knowing what to say about that. What do you say when God says that? And then Jonah's standing there, and one day God says to him, Jonah, actually, I'm going to do a little something out of the norm. I'm going to send you to take a message to a group of people that I've been working in. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to send you to Nineveh. And that was completely off Jonah's radar, completely out of Jonah's comfort zone. And theologically, Jonah had an immense issue with what God was doing. So before Jonah gets to chapter 3, where we see him actually delivering the message of God to the Ninevites, God had to do an immense work in Jonah. Jonah had to experience the very mercy that God was taking to the Ninevites. And you know, honestly, folks, that's exactly how it works in our lives. The work that God wants to do through you is a work that oftentimes you are not anticipating and you are not suited for, and God has to do a work in you. And so that's what the first half of the book is all about. It is about God pursuing a reluctant prodigal prophet and doing the work that needs to be done in him so that he can do the work that God has appointed him to do. And then we come to chapter 3. And what we discover in chapter 3 is the greatest single revival in the entire Bible. This is the most stunning display of God working through his word to bring an entire people to himself. More than 120,000 individuals are impacted by the work that God does in this city. There is no other place in your Bible, there is no other account where you have these kinds of this kind of impact on these many people. And it is stunning because when Jonah gets there, he doesn't want to preach. And so instead of going throughout the city for 3 days like God told him, he hung out on the outskirts of the city and he opened his mouth and he preached a very brief and a very hard message for 1 day. And by the end, the entire city had come to repentance. So this is a very significant passage. I said to you, those of you that have been following along, that I believe that Jonah is the one who wrote the book. And I believe that Jonah wrote the book years after the events that took place in his life that he's writing about. So while we're reading these four chapters and we're right in the middle of the action, when Jonah wrote the book, he's actually writing the book long after these events took place. And as he writes the book, he is weaving things into the narrative and he's pulling things up so that a bigger message can come through that he had to learn the hard way as he was experiencing the things that we're reading about in these four chapters. And one of the things I think that Jonah is doing in chapter 3 is he is calling attention to three cities. There is a tale of three cities that is being told in Jonah chapter 3. Now, most of you remember back to your high school years, or maybe to your college years, and you read a very famous author who wrote a very famous work of literature that began like this. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light and the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope and it was the winter of despair. You know the book? How many of you have read A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens? Can I see your hands? Okay, all right. How many of you have heard of the book? All right, that's better. Almost everybody's heard of the book, and not all of us have read the book. Well, let me give you a little history to this book, because I think what Dickens does in his Tale of Two Cities is very interesting. Dickens wrote this book in 1859. The events that he put into that book took place years earlier in the late 1700s, right after the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror had come to an end. And in the aftermath of that, there are two families that have to sort of rebuild their lives out of the ashes of that revolution. And so the action takes place in two cities. One city is the city of Paris that is building itself back up from all that happened in that horrific period of time in its history. And the other place where the action happens is in the city of London. And Dickens is writing many years after this, and he puts the setting of the story way back then, but he's writing in 1859, and there are things he's trying to communicate about France, and there are things that he's trying to communicate about England. And one of the things that he's trying to do in the book is he is trying to help you understand that the instability of France needs to be contrasted by the stability of England that has been going on now for these decades after the French Revolution. Now, there is a third nation that is watching all of this. This is kind of where Dickens is going. Here are things that are happening in the book, and there's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of hurt, and there's a great injustice that has been done, and it all ties back to this period of instability. And over here in London, there is stability. Even though there's been conflict, even though there has been difficulty, there is stability. But there is a third nation, and Dickens is aware that this nation is watching. And the third nation that is watching is a new nation, a nation that broke away from the United States, or from England, and you know it now as the United States of America. And this nation, in the period of time that he is writing about, experienced a great deal of instability itself. And so as you read Dickens, particularly this story, it is the story about two cities that are speaking to a third. Now, I'm not pulling Dickens in because I think that there's things in Dickens that are in Jonah. I'm pulling Dickens into our sermon this morning because I think Jonah is doing something very similar. He is writing this, and he's going to reference two cities in chapter 3, but there's a third city that's watching. And so I want to show you how this works. There are two cities in the Old Testament that describe how God feels about wickedness. So what are the three cities that Jonah has in mind as he writes this little book? Well, the first is a city that becomes sort of the example of God's judgment. And I'm going to show you a slide here in just a minute. As if they can advance the slide one, please. I'm going to show you a slide that is a slide you should be familiar with. That is Lot and his two daughters, and they are fleeing from what city? They are fleeing from the city of Sodom. You say, Pastor Sam, I thought this was a city about a story about the city of Nineveh. So where in the world are you pulling up the idea of Sodom? Well, I want you to notice the warning that Jonah utters. He said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The word overthrown there is a word, and we talked just briefly about this word the last time that we looked at this. That word is a word that is a very violent word. This speaks to what God is going to do when wickedness comes up before him, and that wickedness is so great that he can no longer ignore it, and the people who are doing that wickedness refuse to repent. And what happens to a city like that is that God overturns it. You can see this in Genesis chapter 18, verse 21, when God has an interaction with Abraham. He said, I will go down and see whether they, that's the Sodom and Gomorrah, the people who live there, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come up to me. Now, there's a big hint there. Because in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, a great wickedness has come up from a city before the Lord. Jonah is wanting you to make this connection. Here is a city whose great wickedness has come up to the Lord. Ding, ding, ding. There's another big city in the Old Testament whose wickedness, whose outcry had come up before the Lord. So what happened to that city? Well, in Genesis 19, you know the story. Abraham has interceded many times for this city. The two angels that are sent by the Lord to destroy the city come into the city, and the city continues in its great wickedness. And they do something absolutely atrocious, immoral, and wicked, and at which point the two men speak to Lot, and they say, "Have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, daughters, or anyone that you have in the city? Bring them out, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against this people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Wow. Jonah said, "I want you to think about that. There is a city, and God sent me to that city, and I didn't want to go there, but that city had great wickedness that had come up before the Lord, and there is another city in the Old Testament who had great wickedness that came up before the Lord, and it is the example of what God does to cities where there are great wickedness that comes up against them. He destroys them." In fact, all through your Bible, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah become the examples of what God does when great wickedness is unaddressed. Listen to how Peter put it in his letter in the New Testament. He said, "By turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly." So city number one that Jonah wants you to think about is found in that little warning that he gave to Nineveh about 40 days, and God is going to overthrow you just like he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's city number one. City number two is the city that we're reading about, the city that Jonah has come to, this great metropolis, this immense place, one of the seats of power in one of the most powerful nations in the ancient world, the nation of Assyria. And you know the story. We've been talking about this city. Their own great wickedness had come up before the Lord. And God said, "I am going to deal with their great wickedness. And Jonah, I'm sending you there to warn them." And of course, Jonah reluctantly goes and he issues that great warning. And by the end of chapter 3, the entire city has repented. So if Sodom and Gomorrah are the example of what God does when great wickedness is not repented of, Nineveh is the wonderful example of what God does when wickedness is repented of. And so you have these two examples that are set before. So what is the third city? It is the most wonderful city in your Old Testament. It is a glorious city. It is the place where God has chosen to dwell among his people. You have a picture there of the temple, the great, beautiful temple of Solomon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And here God's people dwelt, and here the presence of God was right in their midst. Here the Torah of God had been given, and the priests of God mediated the worship of God. It was the center of your Old Testament life. And the great wickedness of that city had come up against the Lord, and the Lord was about to destroy them. And there is a message that God has to that great city, a very similar message that he sent by another prophet named Jeremiah. Listen to what Jeremiah said as he invited that great city that Jonah is so burdened over to repent. He said this, Jeremiah said, "The Lord said to you this, if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck it up, break it down, and destroy it, if that nation about which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build it and plant it, And if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will also relent of the good that I had intended to do it. Here's Jeremiah, almost 100 years after Jonah, and he's saying to the Israelites, let me tell you what God said. God said that if he told a city he would tear it down and pluck it up unless they repented, and they repented, God would relent. And there's a city in your Bible to show you that's true. It is the most unusual city in our Old Testament. It is the city of Nineveh. And Jonah was its prophet. But on the other hand, Jeremiah went on to say, if God has said to a city, I'm going to build you, I'm going to establish you, and I'm going to make you fruitful, which is exactly what God has said to you, O Jerusalem. And if that city continues in its wickedness and refuses to repent, then God is going to repent. God is going to relent of the good things that he said he was going to do for it. This is a very, very serious and sober warning that God is giving to a nation. And so this morning, as we come to the last half of this chapter, what does repentance that pleases God really look like? How do we explain a revival like this? How do we explain what went on in the hearts of a nation and in a city that was so bent on wickedness that their cry had come up before God and God could no longer ignore it? And then all of a sudden, the next thing we know, the entire city is on its knees. The entire city, including the king. And by the way, the king here is called the king of Nineveh. He's actually the king of the entire Assyrian nation. Sometimes in the Old Testament, kings were the kings of Israel, who were king over the entire thing, were also called like the king of Samaria. And whatever city they were in, he was the king over it. And so here is the king of Assyria, and here is the third largest city in his empire, and he is there as the king over that city, and he repents. This is stunning. And so as we go to the text, there are some questions that we need to ask. How did this come about? Because we know it wasn't Jonah. How did this come about? What was the means by which God so graciously worked? Look at verse 4 of this text. The means by which God so graciously worked all of this. In verse 4, Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out. In verse 2, God said, when you get to Nineveh, I want you to call out. And what I want you to call out to that city is a message that I'm going to give you. In verse 6, the word, the message that God gave to Jonah to call out reached the ear of the king. So how did all of this come about? It came about by means of God's authoritative word. God gave a very authoritative and a very clear and a very specific and a very gracious word. He said to Jonah, I want you to tell Nineveh my word. And here is my word to Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. You say, well, where is the grace in all of that? Well, there certainly is a warning, and we've already seen the warning in that brief word that came from God. Jonah, tell Nineveh that I'm going to overthrow them.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and C.J. Billieux. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.